Our reading is from Deuteronomy 11, starting at verse 1. Love and obey the Lord. Love the Lord your God and keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws, and his commands always. Remember today that your children were not the ones who saw and experienced the discipline of the Lord your God. His majesty, his mighty hand, his outstretched arm, the signs he performed, and the things he did in the heart of Egypt, both to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his whole country. What he did to the Egyptian army, to its horses and chariots, how he overwhelmed them with the waters of the Red Sea as they were pursuing you, and how the Lord brought lasting ruin on them. It was not your children who saw what he did for you in the desert until you arrived at this place, and what he did to Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab and the Reubenite, when the earth opened its mouth right in the middle of all Israel and swallowed them up with their households, their tents, and every living thing that belonged to them. But it was your own eyes that saw all these great things the Lord has done. Observe, therefore, all the commands I am giving you today, so that you may have the strength to go in and take over the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, and so that you may live long in the land that the Lord swore to your forefathers to give to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. The land you are entering to take over is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you planted your seed and irrigated it by foot as in a vegetable garden. But the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. It is a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. So if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, let's pray for Charlie as she comes to share what the Lord has placed on her heart with us today. Father God, we do thank you for your servant, Charlie, and for all that you have been doing in her life through this week, particularly in relation to her preparations. And we just ask, Lord, for her to have clarity and boldness to share with us what you have shared with us. May we hear her words as your words. And may you challenge us, Lord, as each one of us needs to be, not with condemnation, but with a real invitation to know you more deeply, to serve you more faithfully, and to become more and more like your Son, our Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thanks, Charlie.
Well, good morning. Are we well? Well, I'm hoping so, yes. So, if the children can be ready with this. Are you ready? You've got that. Because you're going to be doing a little bit as we talk through this. There'll be some things that you can fill in. For instance, you can see the head and you can see the little bubble coming up. That's sort of how your mind is involved. Yeah, so the little, because you're thinking, and then your heart, how is our heart involved? And then there's, you know, sort of each box has got a psalm and a verse. So in the pew, there's Bible there, you can find that psalm and then find out what part of the body are you worshipping with there. So that's a little thing that you'll be going to do in a minute, but... First of all, is Molly ready? in a minute, because I'm going to get Molly to be my wanderer mic in a second. Okay. So, what does glorifying God look like? Well, 2 weeks ago, we looked at the question, how and why did God create us? And in Genesis 1, 26 to 31, we read the account of creation. God intentionally created male and female. He did not make them the same, nor did he allow them to choose their gender. Male and female were made in the image of God. So we are called to reflect that image. As Christians and God's image bearers, we are called to show that God exists and what he is like by the way we live our lives, by the way we relate to each other and to the world. But most of all, the way we relate to God, living lives of praise, giving God the glory. The answer to question four was God created us, male and female, in his own image to glorify him. So he created us to know him, to love him, to live with him, and to glorify him. But what does glorifying look like? Today's question from the City Catechism asks, how can we glorify God? And I'm going to look at each aspect. Enjoying him, loving him, trusting him and obeying his will, commands and law. And we're going to look at what that might look like. So on Faith Life this week, Lee posed a question. Have you been considering what it means to be a sports fan? Have we got any sports fan? Are you a big fan? Or maybe just a spasmodic follower? So, what about in the corner there? Thomas, are you a big fan? Yeah? Who do you support? Tottenham. Whoa. And where's the other Thomas? He's hiding. And is John here? No. Because John's a big fan, isn't he? It's one of those Manchester teams. I can't remember which one, really. But does it matter? But I'm not a football fan, but I do like watching rugby. Oh, it was sad yesterday, wasn't it? But look at these pictures of rugby fans. Right. So, children, you're looking at the rugby fans on the screen, all right? Can you recognise which team they support? Right, okay. Can we recognise? Okay, so what about number one? What do you reckon over in the corner there? Number one, what team is that? Can we... here comes the roving mic. I've cut off the bit that would tell you.
Is it England? Oh. England?
Yeah, England, yeah. Number two, lots of daffodils. Wales, right, okay. What about number three? Maybe, right, okay, maybe one in the corner might know.
Is that Australia?
Do you think the kangaroos are a dead giveaway? And what about number four? Ireland. Yeah. So they're displaying some characteristics about the team. At the match, they would be singing the praises of the team. They would talk with enthusiasm about the game, or maybe, you know, sort of cry afterwards. And talk about how good their team was. And, of course, they would go to big games and be proud to be a fan. And this way they show they're a big fan and they're letting others know it. In this way, they are glorifying the team. Glorifying people or things is to give them praise, to tell other people about who they are and how great they are. Are we big fans of God? How often do we think about God? Do we get so involved with the business of our lives that we forget God? Do we consider what God's plan for us is each day? Or are we too concerned with our own agenda? We need to be intentional. Glorifying God involves our minds, our hearts, and our physical bodies. So, children, can you find those passages in Psalms and find out which bits, you know, there's a Bible in the pews there, find out which bits they're praising God with. You might like to write the verse in the box. So, enjoyment of being a fan. Enjoyment is a key feature of being a fan, and you want to know as much as you can about the person or team which you support. You enjoy spending time watching or listening to them and being with others who share your interest. You admire the achievements of the team. You delight in their success and praise them for their achievements. Through all this, you glorify them. And as Christians, one of the ways that we glorify God is by enjoying him. But what does that mean? Firstly, we need to use our minds. You cannot enjoy God unless you know God. You cannot sing the praises of a person you do not know. So we need to read the Bible to find out about him, his character, explore his ways, his will and purpose. In our reading today, verses 1 to 7, the Israelites are reminded by Moses that they were the generation who saw the works of God, his majesty and power. They experienced both his blessing and his discipline. Remembering what God has done for them, how he rescued them from Egypt, his constant presence with them throughout their wanderings, and his provision for their needs, his protection and care. And all this should lead to them both loving God and obedience of his commands. So as we read his word, we see our God at work through history. We see his plans and purposes. We see his grace and mercy at work through his son Jesus. And we see how much he cares for us. Romans 5 verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And what he's done for us through the cross leads us to respond in thankfulness and praise. We enjoy God because we value him above everything else. And by this, we glorify God. John Piper says, "God is not worshipped where he is not treasured and enjoyed. Praise is not an alternative to joy, but the expression of joy. Not to enjoy God is to dishonor him. To say to him that something else satisfies you more is the opposite of worship. It is sacrilege." I'm reminded of the start of the parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15, verses 12 to 13. Son said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. He was using the principle YOLO. Have you come across that? YOLO, you only live once. That's when we used to have to do text messages and we were paid for every word. So you kind of learned this sort of, you only live once, YOLO. What the son showed was what he valued most, his own self-interest, an enjoyment above his relationship with his father. Sadly, we all show the same characteristics and can easily drift away. We need to stay focused, to read his word, to remember what he has done for us, and to cultivate thankful hearts. So, how do you use your mind, children? How do you use your mind? What do we use our minds for? To read the Bible so that we get to know who God is and what he's done. I want you to think about your life, your health, your family, your friends, the world we live in. What would you be sad to lose? And when did we last thank God for these blessings he has placed in our path? These are all deliberate acts which we choose to do. We choose to thank God for his blessings. We choose to read the Bible. They're all part of enjoying God, but also show how much we love God. Deuteronomy 11 verse 1 says, "Love the Lord your God and keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws and his commands always." The Israelites must choose to love God, and remembering what God has done for them is part of that process. But enjoying God also involves the heart, the center of our emotions. Why do we love other people, partners, parents and friends? Just talk amongst your family and whoever you're close to and think about that. Why do we love other people, partners, parents, friends? And then I'll get Molly to get some of your answers in a minute. Roving mic. Right. Who would like to say something? Why do we love other people, partners, parents, friends? Okay. What drew you to love, you know, sort of the person you're, Dave, but you know, Sue. Whoa.
Yeah, I'm talking Dave and Sue.
Oh, no.
because I don't know, it's just something. I think we're emotional beings and we need someone to support us and to be in our corner. And the person I'm sat next to and will have been married to in a few weeks' time, 48 years, is somebody I just want to be with all the time.
Okay, can we ask one of the children why they love their parents?
Whoa.
Because she's a lovely chicken.
Can you say that again?
That my mum's a lovely chicken.
Oh, yeah. Lizzie, why do you love your mum?
Because she's kind to me.
Yeah? Okay. Anyone else want to, you know, so from your discussions, want to? Dave, over there, he looks like he's going to say something. This Dave.
I'm probably not the person to speak about this, but you love people when they become part of you, part of your life, and you live for and through them. And that, to me, that's the way you should love God. Becomes part of your life, and you live through God's word. I do, anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Anyone else? Oh, that Dave.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to pass this one on to Ruth, because she actually told us that it's, for us Christians, it's part of God's love for us comes through to other people. And where God's love abounds, then your love goes out to other people. Is that right, Ruth?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's our discussion.
Okay, so thank you, Molly. So we love our parents because they love us. It might be their character, personality. We might admire what they do. But it's because God's love is there. God loves us. And we are made to love. So our affections are designed to find the focus and fulfillment in God. We admire God's greatness, his beauty. We are surrounded by examples of his wonderful creation. We see the splendor of his power. We're saved, redeemed, and restored through his bountiful grace and mercy. And as we think about who God is, and what he's done for us, and learn more about him, our hearts are full of praise and we glorify him. So if we know God through our minds and love him with our hearts, then we know that we can trust him with every part of ourselves and our lives. And because we love him, we choose to obey his commands, not because we fear the consequences or to somehow earn brownie points, but because when you really love someone, you don't want to disappoint or upset them. Love for God never goes against his word. Jesus says in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, and you will obey what I command, and then in verse 21, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. But we're not very good at following commands. Look at Adam and Eve. They knew God in person. They'd witnessed the wonder of creation, his mighty power, and yet disobeyed God, and sin came into the world. Lot's wife was told not to look back, but she did, and was overcome by the same fate that overwhelmed Sodom and Gomorrah. Jonah was asked to go to Nineveh, but went off in the opposite direction, although he did repent and go to Nineveh, as God had asked. we face the same choices. We glorify God when we obey his commands because we show that we love him and trust him. Knowing God, we trust that his commands are perfect for our life and the best for our spiritual health. In Deuteronomy 11, verse 8, Moses warns the Israelites, "Observe therefore all the commands I'm giving you today, so that you may have the strength to go in to the land and to take over the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess." The commands and laws would protect the Israelites from being led astray. But more of that next week, whoever's got it. So finally, going back to our fans' example, the fans are not embarrassed to sing the praises of their team. They're not embarrassed to be identified with that team. You know, they wear outlandish costumes. I'm not saying we've got to wear outlandish costume, but, you know, sort of... They sing the praises of their team at the top of their voices to tell others how wonderful the team is. It's part of being a fan. Glorifying God is part of being in a loving relationship with him. When did we last tell our friends how wonderful God is? Psalm 145. Verse 3, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works." Who can you tell today how wonderful our God is? How do we glorify God? We glorify God by enjoying him, loving him, trusting him, and by obeying his will, commands, and law. So today, and every day, can we at the end of the day consider the question, how did we enjoy God today? Amen.